Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD, the job search and procrastination. And with us in our virtual studio is Michelle Raz. Tonight is actually Wednesday, August the 16th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope that you're going to like this show. We're bringing two topics together that are often talked about separately, but we're bringing them together, career counseling and procrastination on actually finding a job. And we're going to have a conversation with you about job searches and some of the problems that kind of take place. Real quickly, tonight our show is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. They've been a longtime supporter of Attention Talk Radio. We're thrilled to have them on board. Note that this year they're doing their annual conference, that they're actually combining forces this year with Attention Deficit Disorder Association, and I think there's a pre-conference by the ADHD Coaches Organization. It's all going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, from November the 9th to the 11th of this year. You can learn more about that by going to chadd.org. You can register, you can sign up, et cetera. Again, our show is being brought to you tonight by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We have a little tip that we want to run, and we'll get into the meat of the show. So here we go.
Why are older adults the fastest growing population to be diagnosed with ADHD? Is there such a thing as adult onset ADHD? Get answers to your questions, www.help4adhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Again, we thank Chad for their continued support of our program and trying to get the word out. Those of you out there who are not familiar with Chad, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage you to become a member of the organization for no other reason to support a unified voice in the United States and around the world. They do some amazing work, and there's a lot of great member benefits. So let's get into our show tonight. With us in our virtual studio is Michelle Raz. The topic is the job search and procrastination. I have coached many individuals that are out there looking for jobs, and they procrastinate on it. And we hope that we're going to illuminate some insights on that. Our interview was actually pre-recorded with Michelle, so we're going to run the tape right now. So just kick back and enjoy. Welcome. We're here with Michelle Raz, who has her master's in education, a BCC, is an ADHD and career coach, who is a board certified by the Center of Credentialing and Education. She has over 2,500 hours of coaching experience and has been a member of the Edge Foundation coaching team since 2010. Michelle has a certificate as a career service specialist from the Wilma Feldman Career Counseling Expert. I'm a big fan of Wilma, so I got to tell you, that means she's good here, everybody. She's a trainer, the author of Finding a Career That Works for You. She's also earned a certificate of advanced coaching skills practicum from world-renowned ADHD coaching expert Jody Sleeper Triplett. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, real quick, everybody, to learn about Michelle, we'll be sharing her website later in the show, but her website is azcoaching.com. Oh, excuse me, back up, razcoaching.com. So sorry about that, Michelle. Again, welcome. Welcome back. We've had you on before. We're having a spirited conversation. And tonight, I'm really excited about tonight. It's that job search thing that is near and dear to the heart of many of those with ADHD, and procrastination, which is a big issue for those with ADHD. And to me, in this particular space, these two worlds really kind of collide. What are your thoughts on this?
Absolutely. Procrastination is a big one when we're talking about ADHD coaching and finding the right career, whether you're a college student or you're an adult trying to redefine yourself.
You know, it's interesting to me because, and everybody, Michelle works a lot with adolescents and college students and some young adults and others, but she works a lot with her. I don't really do a lot there that's interesting, but
You know, Michelle, when I was going through college, I mean, it sounded really pretty simple. You're just supposed to put your resume together and then you go knock on the doors of employers and then, you know, magically they pick you and you go in for an interview and somehow you actually kind of get a job. And that really sounds like a very, very, very simple process. But to me, as I've learned, it's anything but simple and really more complicated, I think, than what people give it credit for. You've worked with a lot of people and you go through a lot of stuff to kind of get there. Talk to us about the complexity of the process here a little bit.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to start off with a quote here that I share with a lot of students. It's an old philosopher quote from Goethe, and it's, "Thinking is easy, acting is difficult, and to put one's thoughts into action is the most difficult thing in the world." So a lot of the students that will come to me have a lot of ideas of what they want to do, but they get stuck with what is the next step. And so we work together to break that down so that it's very manageable for them. A lot of people with ADHD get overwhelmed with the task, the daunting task of what it really means to get out there and get that dream job. So we do spend quite a bit of time chunking it down. It can be up to 10, 12 sessions just on what it takes to actually get out there and be interviewing with somebody.
You use the word, they have ideas, what it is, what is the next step, what is, that has organization written all over it in my mind. I mean, it's just like, what is, I mean, it's just massive. All the, you have to organize the process. You have to organize your thoughts and the elements in the process. They're whole much, and those with ADHD really struggle with organization. So it really makes some sense that this is actually a very difficult area for, and a good reason why they procrastinate.
Absolutely. We're talking a lot about the emotional factors. It could be stumbling blocks around fear. It could be around not knowing what the next step is, which is what we break it down, which can help the fear piece of it. So it takes some of the ambiguity out of what they need to be doing. And so then we try to give them some confidence in what the next step is. And there's a whole process to go through to identify what it is that they need to do and where their strengths lie so that they can give the best interview possible.
Yeah. And you just said a word that, at least in my experience, when it comes to procrastination, the underlying theme, the one diagnosis, if you will, of the most prevalent root of procrastination that I have found as a coach is ambiguity. Because if you don't really know what to do, then you don't really know what to do. And if you don't know what to do and you got something else that you need to get done or that's easily to get done and you know what to do, it's in a sense, it's really more productive to go get something else done as opposed to just sit there and just stare out into space. And as I remember my college days and what you do, you know, knowing what your strengths are, knowing how to articulate it, knowing it where to go look, knowing how to interview, knowing how to organize your thoughts, all that kind of stuff is got to be overwhelming. And I can definitely see how it can lead to a lot of emotional type stuff. Now, effectively as a coach helping those, you said it takes up to sometimes 10 sessions to kind of get them through the organizational part of it, or is it to get them through the process?
Through the process, so we would break it down by understanding exactly what is the process of career development, career choice, life planning. Then we'd step into developing what their interests are, maybe what their early childhood dreams were or still are, identifying skills and accomplishments. A lot of people with ADHD have a bruised ego. They have a lower self-esteem. And so they tend to have a negative outlook on themselves. And so we start digging into the positives in their lives and build and start to look for some patterns connecting the dots so that they can start to see really what their strengths are in an interview process or if they're just simply trying to decide what major. So this can take a long time. We draw in on their personality. What are their work habits? What are areas that they want to improve, as well as aptitude and any job histories they currently may have, any special challenges? So when you're looking at all those different factors, it really can take, you know, when I say 10, 12 weeks, I'm talking 1-hour sessions. So
yep,
if we want
yep.
to categorize it as hours.
Yep. I can see actually kind of what you, there's kind of a couple components here. One of them is the coaching on who you are, what you might look for, those types of things, which is very much coaching. But then there's this other part of it that you're not coaching them on necessarily how to get organized. You're coaching them and working with them back and forth and back and forth so they can verbalize and actually get organized. So one is to kind of coach them on how to get organized. And the other one is to be a part of that and kind of break it down into these steps. And in one sense, I love coaching people and that kind of stuff. But there's this other side of it that when it comes to procrastination, I think there's an enormous value in those with ADHD walking through this every step of the way and talking out loud and brainstorming. Because, Michelle, I've seen so many adults that I've worked with when they have to go off and write that resume, or they actually have to go find companies, it really breaks down because they don't know what to put on their resume and they don't really know. And just sitting in front of a company, I mean, a computer with job boards, they just get lost in that. What's your experience been with that?
You're exactly right. And so when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you don't have a sense of direction, you feel out of control. And so you avoid some of these difficult tasks. By working with a coach or a tutor or somebody in your family that really can help you create this path, you can join that journey with them and break it down. So when they get fearful or there's something they really dread to do, you can help them through that process. And then from the process, they may actually enjoy it in the end when you break it down very simply for them. And some people will use that carrot syndrome. Here's the next step. Here's the next step. Along the journey, they may find some rewards in it and start to feel good about what they're doing. You've established what their strengths are, so they're feeling strong when they go into this process. So it's an overall arching theme of dealing with that emotional this perspective, the ambiguity, and then giving them some guidance on what is the logical step.
Yep, I think that ambiguity and that kind of emotion things kind of go hand in hand. When you are ambiguous and you don't know what to do, but you want to go do it, it can just really create a lot of emotions there. I want to go to a break and come back and pick up where we left off, but your website, razcoaching.com, you've got a couple little goodies on there. Do you just want to tell everybody a little bit about what they would find there?
Absolutely. I have a video blog. I have your podcast from the last show. I also have a webinar in conjunction with the Edge Foundation that you can learn about, and we'll be going through some ongoing series. I also include some testimonials, a lot of good information, some downloadables as well.
Absolutely. So everybody go check out our website. It's razcoaching.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Michelle Raz, ADHD and career coach, and we're having a great conversation about finding a job and procrastinating around it. And before the break, we're talking just kind of laying things out a little bit. And I think that this process is very difficult for those with ADHD because of the lack of clarity. Really, it comes down to ambiguity. And when you're not clear and you feel that pressure, it becomes very emotional, and people's behavior manifests in very many different ways, all of which are in other directions from actually kind of tackling the task. And, you know, I know, Michelle, you do a lot of helping people gain some clarity, reduce the ambiguity kind of on who they are, what they do, where they might look, what their energy levels are, those types of things to kind of narrow that funnel down a little bit. But I also find that there's also the people that I've worked with, there's a big advantage when they actually sit down and write a resume, not just go off and do it themselves, but actually literally write the resume with others and then take it to other people to critique, to actually go look for a job. I mean, literally drive around in a car if you're going to go in some areas and drop off resumes, or sit next to them while they're on the computer doing some of that stuff, or go into network functions. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Kind of a wingman type person. The person's not there to do it, but just to go kind of work the room a little bit. And then really just sit there and practice interviewing, where a person will just do that stuff back and forth. All the while they have a body double that's going through this process, somebody to bounce ideas off and go back and forth to kind of help them organize their ideas, and somebody to help them filter out what they're doing to kind of hone stuff down. What are your thoughts on literally having somebody with somebody physically kind of going through that process to kind of help keep them moving, not just as a who you are or an organizational piece, but just kind of keep them activated by keeping a resource there to talk out loud to?
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling that sounds like a cheerleader coach. What a fascinating concept, and what a benefit for anyone to have that person sitting next to you, and to have somebody that was a professional to boot. I would welcome that for any client that I would work with. I would think that would just be a real hands-on experience and very empowering for the client to have that, to bounce off when their fears come up, when they are struggling with doing a difficult task. Because a lot of people with the ADHD, they will throw up a roadblock for themselves, and yep, they'll have the greatest intentions to do something, but they don't follow through with that in the end. They could get that random phone call and go to Starbucks instead of going to that informational interview, or go to just get some more information. Yep. So that is, you know, you would call that almost like a career hunting buddy with you.
Well, it can be a career hunting buddy, but sometimes it doesn't even have to be a career coach or a hunting buddy. It's literally just somebody physically to kind of go there with it. I mean, it's funny. I released an attention talk video, I think 3 years ago, basically just on body doubles in the context of professional organizers. And it's always fascinating to me, the organizers who get hired and they show up, and I forget the two that originally brought my attention. They began to realize they were the ADD personalities, where they would show up and the person with ADHD would actually be sitting there going through it, and the professional organizer would just be sitting there and listening to the person with ADHD kind of go through their bills and kind of do that stuff. And it was like, wow. And I had worked with some other people where we kind of played with that a little bit. I'm telling the story because this guy listened to my watched my attention dog video, and he called me. Mm-hmm. Caught me at like noon. It was between appointments. I said, listen, can I call you back? And I got away from you. So I called him back the next day, and he said, I had seen your thing, and I was fascinated. So he said, I went online to an ADD forum on like Facebook and posted something like, is anybody else not getting anything done today? And he got a response from somebody, and the two of them got together, and they would schedule time where they would both call each other for like 2 or 3 hours. And they never, when I had followed up, which I'll get back to in a second, they had never met each other. And they literally, they'd get on the phone and say, okay, what are you going to do? And the other person, what they do? And they would sit in silence on the phone, and they would both go about doing their work. And every once in a while they go, hey, how are you doing? And they didn't really go back and forth, but just physically somebody on the other end of the line, fogging a mirror. And the guy called me up and he goes, oh my God, I mean, I got 10 times as much done as I ever did just sitting myself. It's just like, I'm at my desk, I'm in the same place, but having somebody, the other person wasn't holding them accountable per se. They were just there. And it's funny because he actually kind of came on and we did a show about that. And then subsequent, I've actually referred people to him. And it's interesting to me the power of having somebody there with you to do that. And I've also had a lot of people that I was coaching a girl that was trying to apply for PA school, which is an application process. And she was procrastinating, but her mother just literally sat there one day while she was keying the stuff into the computer and, you know, oh, what's my, you know, whatever social security number, whatever. And they plugged it in. And it was fascinating to me how she activated. I mean, she had been procrastinating for a long period of time. Again, that's not for a job per se, but still an application online, which is still trying to get yourself in somewhere else. Then there was another person I was coaching that was having to do some connected stuff. And she sat with a husband and literally she kept running into roadblocks where she didn't know some information. So her husband would actually help her look it up at the same time. And it was amazing to me how fast they went in moving forward by just having somebody there, either keeping them company or a resource to get, you know, point of performance information for clarity at that point in time and to kind of walk forward. And it's just, I wanted to do the show because it was just been fascinating to me about how many of them just need a physical body with them to bounce this stuff off of, to reduce the ambiguity, to reduce the anxiety in order to activate. Now, have you ever heard the body double thing before?
I have not. And the first thing that I thought of was accountability partner. But as you said, they're not really holding them accountable. It's a motivational piece and it's an emotional support piece, which also led me to think of a student years ago that was really struggling with completing work. And they would be sent off to their room to do their work and where it was nice and quiet and nothing would get done. As soon as the parent brought the student into the kitchen where all the noise was, all the background, we call it white noise, the math got done, the reading got done, much to the parent's surprise. And what in the end, the student needed this activity around, this buzz around them, which helped her focus on her work. And so I'm wondering if there's some sort of correlation with the energy that the person gets just by having another person in the room.
Well, it may not work
for everybody.
it's funny. I've interviewed Dr. Ari Tuckman for years. He's been on the show more than anybody else. And it was funny because we were talking about studying one time. He says, you got to go. And Ari, when he writes or reads, he's got to be total silence. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like in a closet with nothing in it. He says, you got to go talk to Roberto Olivardi, who I had known. And I did an interview with him. And when he wrote his Harvard dissertation to get his doctorates in psychology, he did it in 2 weeks on a computer screen with punk rock videos playing on the very screen. And he said the rhythm and the beat of that kind of helped. But I'm actually telling that story to tell another one. So when I'm interviewing on that, which I knew, out of nowhere, he talks about one day he's going into school, whatever, and he had forgot his Walkman back in the old days when those little cassette things. And he started reading on the subway. And he was like, wait a second, I'm reading a lot quicker. And he actually did an experiment. He read at home and timed himself and read on the subway and found he read 7 times faster on the subway and would ride. I mean, literally, he'd sometimes get on the subway and ride it from one end to the other just because he could read. Now, that's really an environmental thing for like a focus type thing. But when you have somebody with you, maybe keeping you company and a resource to bounce ideas off of. I mean, it's interesting to me how you just say something this way or another and somebody makes a comment. You don't necessarily do it, but you're playing with it and externalizing. I have just found that having that around and reducing that ambiguity does wonders for them going forward. So there's the buzz, the energy, the company, immediate resources where you can say stuff and they kind of get some feedback. And it just seems to me that you have a lot of success moving forward from a coaching perspective, but also there's this element that I'm talking about that you're providing that really, really seems the formula if you're looking for a job to really kind of kickstart it and go forward and get by that.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I wonder, and this is what I wonder with the people listening to it, is who is that person? If you don't hire somebody to drive around with you, which could be extremely expensive, how do you go about having or finding a relationship where that can happen? Is it an agreed upon, I'm going to donate my time if you donate your time? How do people about finding that person?
I've seen people do that. I've also seen people just as much as, hey, I need to do this, particularly if it's a college student or a young adult, really the parents, like just walk me through the process and kind of get us through. Need to go to break. We'll kind of pick up on this a little bit more, everybody. Go check out Michelle's website at razcoaching.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're having a spirited conversation with Michelle Raz on procrastination and finding a job or kind of getting a career. Michelle, one of the things that I'm kind of interested in from your perspective is when you're working with people, do you coach a lot around the interview process and what to do in interviews? And if so, can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, that would be kind of part two of the coaching that I'm talking about in this overall arching, 10 to 12 week session. And so we will look at what components it takes to have a good interview, how to interview differently, and to be informed. And one of my favorite pieces that I've taken from Wilma Feldman's book, Finding a Career That Works for You, is this information interviewing. To me, and that piece right there can really shed a lot of light on what career truly is interesting to you, because a lot of times what we think we are interested in, we may have an overview of a job, but the nuts and bolts, and so we might prepare things to ask through an informational interview. Now, that can be a difficult process with some of the clients I work with, and you hit it earlier when you were talking about college-age kids. They're a little bit intimidated, they're a little bit young, and they've never heard of just calling somebody to ask questions about a particular career. So I find that a valuable experience, but also one that we have to work through to get them motivated to actually follow through with it.
You know, it's funny, I like to pay attention to attention, and a lot of things that I do are just kind of switching mindsets. And with the adult crowd that I'm working with, a lot of times I try to change their mindset when they go into the interviewing process, because typically you're applying for a job, and as I say, you begin to beg for the job, and no matter what they ask you, you're going to try to make yourself look like you can fit into that job. And it can be very awkward if it doesn't really make a lot of sense for you to do that. I mean, because it'll come out like if you're kind of forcing it. Plus, after a while, it gets difficult. And if you actually did get the job, then you could be miscast when you get there, which is not so good for anybody. So I kind of focus on a little bit of the, first of all, tell them who you are and then what you do with specificity. And then you ask if they have anything for you to do. So just, I always play around like, hi, I'm a squirrel. I climb trees. Do you have any trees for me to climb? And it sounds silly and it sounds stupid, but it changes the mindset a little bit. And as I describe to them, if they say, well, we don't really have any trees for you to climb, you go, oh, thank you very much. Because they don't have trees for you to climb. If that's what you like to do, then it's not like that you got rejected. They just don't have it. And if you walk in and say, hey, you got any trees for you to climb? And they open the back door and they go, hey, we got a whole forest. Well, I like the poplar ones, They can kind of do that. But in that notion is you begin to say what you are, and you begin to kind of interview them. Do you have trees? What kind of trees do you have? As a means to a mindset thing, again, to adjust that ambiguity a little bit to get them clarity and really kind of a direction. And I share that it's a little bit off topic, a little bit mainstream, but it's still
It's to change that mindset of what they're doing, sometimes to give them a little bit more confidence or a little bit more clarity in what they're doing, and also adjust the emotional rejection. Because if you say, listen, we don't have any trees for you to climb, you go, okay, never mind, you know, I appreciate it.
So important then to know what your strengths are, what your patterns are, what your work habits are, so that when you do get into this interview process, and hopefully you've done some informational interviewing ahead of time, that you're in your comfort zone. So exactly, you're giving them some foundation to go in with so that they can have a real dialogue and get away from what you said earlier of just being a people pleaser. Yes, I can do that. Okay, I can learn how to do that. Here's my strengths.
So Michelle, I want to kind of move towards wrapping this up a little bit. You know, as we've done this, I kind of want to bring it all back with one of my motivations for doing this is procrastination is front and central and career is front and central. But I think that we have, hopefully, if you reflect back on what we've said, is that there's an enormous amount of organization that needs to take place in order for somebody with ADHD to get a job, organizing their thoughts, trying to understand who they are, and articulating it, trying to put it down on a resume, trying to organize and figure out where you're going to go, how you're going to follow up, organize your thoughts in an interview, et cetera. It's organization, 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 and self-regulation, self-regulation. And those are the epicenters of those with ADHD have. And I always kind of laugh when they just send somebody out and say, go find a job. And it's just like the train wreck waiting to happen. And I'm a big fan of helping them find clarity to do that. And whether it's a coach or some of the things that we've described, what I'm hoping, Michelle, is that the people listen to it realize is that if you're looking for a job and you have ADHD, just don't sit and beat yourself up and will yourself through it. Go do it with somebody and bounce some things off and get some help. Because after all, if you can get casted in the right situation, it can be transformational. And you need help with the organizing process and the thoughts in your mind. So anything else that you'd like to add to that?
What you're saying is, I'm putting it all together, saying you're really building this empowerment and showing, going to somebody that is a professional or finding somebody in your family that might be knowledgeable in this area. There's a lot of free information on the internet you can find as well. But finding somebody to go through this process with, to bounce your ideas off of, to help inspire you, to help you identify your strengths, especially if you've been bouncing, been beating yourself up, is going to prepare you better for getting that correct interview, interviewing better because you've done the work ahead of time. And so many people, I admire ADHD and that impulsive behavior where they just jump in with 2 feet and go with it. But having some kind of process ahead of time is going to just absolutely give you more options when you're jumping in and you're going with the flow if you're that kind of an impulsive person, or if you're an ADHD person that is, you need to process that information. You've been thinking about it and you have some options of things you can talk about. You have some strengths. Yep. We didn't touch on challenges, but that can also be another piece you can work out with somebody. How do you deal with that ever question of what are your strengths now? What are your weaknesses? So that you can have some answers and some confidence going into it.
Yep. So just to kind of wrap it up, there's an old saying, those with ADHD, they know what to do. They struggle with doing what they know to do. And I really think that getting somebody to help somebody through this process is helping them do what they know that they're supposed to do. And the two sides of the emotional side and the ambiguity side, by walking through with somebody and shedding light on that. I've heard a long time ago, I've actually said, you know, activation is equals clarity and ease. Mm-hmm. And you combine these things together and you downregulate emotions, it really makes a lot of sense. So Michelle, as always, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Can you share real quick a little bit more about the your little program on the website? And again, everybody, that's razcoaching.com. But again, if you could review that real quick.
Absolutely. So if you go on there, you can see some of the podcasts that we did a while back ago. And then I have a webinar series that I've been working with. And I also work one-on-one with finding careers that work for you. And just like we said in this show today, going through step-by-step process and working through to find something that you're passionate about and enlightening you of the different steps involved. The clients that I work with are amazed. They've never thought about all the different pieces of the puzzle it takes to land that job where you're going to be happy, your employers are going to be blessed to have you.
Well, perfectly said, perfectly said. So anyway, again, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Great, thank you.
Everybody, we hope you've enjoyed it. Catch us next week for another great edition. Take care.